You may find that on page 113 of your pew Bible. Three sections to this Bible, and sometimes you get to the middle section and you're not where you're supposed to be. John, the 18th chapter, verses 33 through 40. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are the king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against this man. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Such a wonderful day. I mean, you look outside, and maybe it's not such a wonderful day. Yesterday was a bright and sunshiny day, and there was blue sky. But the same Lord reigns over yesterday as he reigns over the world today. There might be the R-A-I-N that we get today because of his reign, but he reigns forever. Christ the King. Well, what is it about a king that's any different from any other person? Power, knowledge and wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom. God offered him power and gold if he'd asked. But Solomon asked for wisdom. And in asking for wisdom, God granted him the power and the money as well. Funny how if we ask for the right things in the right sequence, the good things come from that. In this passage, we're dealing with one of the challenges that Jesus faced in this establishment of a kingdom that's not of this earth. Because the people of the earth back then, and oh, by the way, even today, expect their king, their savior, to rule in their way. Agree with them. Grant them what they want. Bless them with what they think they need. Sometimes a king of kings gives you what you really need, not what you think you need. Gives you what you really need instead of what you feel you must have. Christ, in his reply to Pontius Pilate, you know, Pontius Pilate, he wasn't a king, he was a governor. He'd been appointed by an emperor of Rome. And the process for that was kind of even more corrupt than some would say, our process of electing government officials. Certainly, I think, I'm not saying that we're any worse, but sometimes you wonder, sometimes. But Pontius Pilate was trying to do the right thing by the rules and customs of his day. And all that we have of him is he tried. He may have been inept in some ways, but he tried to do what was right. As he has Jesus brought before him, and we know the sequence in which Jesus is brought before him. And did you guys forget? We're almost into Advent, which is getting ready for, being prepared for the coming of the King. We look at Christmas as a celebration, a time of getting ready for the baby to be born. Christ in Bethlehem with Christmas trees and presents under the trees. No, Christ came to a lowly young man and young woman in a stable in Bethlehem. A far cry from a rich potentate's announced entry into the world. But he's still King of Kings. Pilate enters the headquarters and summons Jesus and asks him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" I mean, it's a direct question. And Pilate had said to him at other times, as he had brought the charges against him, he said, "Don't you know that I have the power over life and death for you?" For that was the very reason that Caiaphas, the high priest, had sent him to King Herod, and King Herod had sent him back to Caiaphas, and Caiaphas had then sent him to Pilate again, was because Pilate, as the Roman governor, was the only one who could pronounce a sentence of death. And Caiaphas and the other rulers of the Jewish church in Jerusalem wanted Christ put to death. They wanted him gone. Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation, the chief priests, have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate had said to Jesus, "Don't you understand that I have the power over life and death?" And Jesus replied to him, "You have no power over me, not granted you by my Father." Pilate asks him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." You know, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We're supposed to follow. Last week, what was the marquee out there? A new and living way. The followers in the early Christian church were called followers of the way. When Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." What is truth? You know, there's so many things that come out of people's mouths, and not all of them are true, but when God speaks, it is truth. It is the Word of God. John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Word took on flesh and came to dwell among us." So that Word is Christ Jesus Himself. He is that truth. His kingdom is not of this earth. His kingdom is that new heaven, that new earth that's coming someday. And it won't come silently. It will be announced with fanfare. All of us will know that the King is back. "For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate asks him, what is truth? Goodness gracious. You know, here he was faced with truth itself. Christ Jesus himself. Truth. And if he'd listened to half of the stories, fed the 5,000, healed a man, stood outside the tomb of a dead man and said, come out. Fed 5,000 with a little lad's lunch. Blind were given back sight. Deaf were able to hear again. Dumb were able to speak. The lame were able to walk. Why? Because of their faith in God. Because of their faith in Jesus and what He could do. He saved their souls. He came to save our souls. You know, and when we think about how God loves us, and out of His great love for us, He forgives us. And out of His forgiveness, we have salvation. And out of salvation, we have a promise of everlasting life. Now, I'm not disputing that logic and theology, for I believe it in my heart. But listen to how this is a gentleman that I've read for a number of years. His name is Oswald Chambers, and he has a devotional, a daily devotional that goes that people have been reading for probably 30 or 40 years. And on the 21st of this month, Jesus says, never build. The death of Christ is the performance in history of the very mind of God. Jesus in John chapter 6 says, I come not to do my will, I come to do the will of God the Father who sent me, and that is that none given me by the Father will be lost. Don't tell me God doesn't have a plan. There is no room for looking on Jesus Christ as a martyr. His death was not something that happened to him, which might have been prevented. His death was the very reason that he came. Never build your preaching of forgiveness on the fact that God is our Father and He will forgive us because He loves us. It is untrue to Jesus Christ's revelation of God. It makes the cross unnecessary. Redemption, much ado about nothing. If God does forgive sin, it's because of the death of Christ. God could forgive men in no other way than by the death of His Son. And Jesus is exalted to be Savior because of His death. We see Jesus, because of the suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, King of Kings. The greatest note of triumph that ever sounded in the ears of a startled universe was sounded on the cross of Christ. It is finished. That's the last word in the redemption of man. Anything that belittles or obliterates the holiness of God by a false view of the love of God is untrue to the revelation of God given by Jesus Christ. Never allow the thought that Jesus stands with us against God out of pity or compassion. Jesus stands with God, and through Him, we are able to be in God's presence because of His sacrifice and His death. We crown Him King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And you know what His crown is made of? It's not made of gold. It's not made of platinum. It's not made of titanium. It's not made of anything man made. You know who makes a thorn bush? God the Creator. You know that throne that Jesus wore was a crown of thorns. And when they stuck that crown of thorns on His head to crown Him King of Kings, King of the Jews, what did He do? He bled. For you. For me. Don't make His sacrifice less by saying, God loves us. He forgives us. It's all going to be great in heaven. Yes, it will, but it will because Christ paid that sinful way. The wages of sin is death. Christ paid that debt of sin for us. That sin debt for us. It came at a cost to Him. You know, and after Jesus was talking to Pilate, Pilate had to have seen something in Jesus. He couldn't find any truth in the claims that the Sanhedrin had brought against Christ. He wasn't preaching sedition. He wasn't preaching turmoil. He wasn't preaching revolt. And after he had spoken to Jesus, he goes to the Jews and he says, "I find no case against him." And then says, "But you have a tradition on this Passover that one condemned prisoner would be given life, would not be punished with death. Who do you want? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to free? Barabbas or Jesus, your king, king of the Jews?" They cry out, "We have no king but Caesar. Who do you want? Barabbas," cry the crowd. "What should I do with Christ, this king of the Jews?" And what did they cry? "Crucify him!" On that cross, as Jesus gives up his last breath, he says, "It is finished. Your debt and my debt was bought at a price. The King of Kings was willing to come to this earth and hang on a cross for your crimes, for my crimes. And because he was willing to do that, you and I can come into the presence of God with confidence." You know, I've been preaching the last few weeks about this priesthood of all believers, this priest who's there, who's making the sacrifice for us for all time, always. So we have confidence to come to God and appear in his presence, washed clean by the blood of Christ. What earthly king or power or potentate would be willing to surrender all for the lowest of the low, for the worst of the sinners? We have no claim on God other than that which Christ tells us we have. We can claim forgiveness. We can claim that resurrection life. So long as Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your hearts that God raised Christ from the dead. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And he's not just because God waved a wand and made him. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because he hung on a cross for you and for me. He bled to death on that cross. He gave even his last breath for me and for you. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, because he's the Lamb of God. He's the Lion of Judah, because he's soon coming King. He is Lord of all. He is Christ the King. Amen.